The other day we were in a meeting with Frosty and Kathy, and I mentioned to Frosty, do you want to go back to Bolivia? And he kind of looked at me and I said, you do the cooking and I'll do the washing of the dishes. Sounded good. But he didn't take me up on the deal. It's good to be here with you. It's been a little while, but we appreciate the privilege of being here in the family conference. This last Monday, my wife and I were at a nice meal looking in a restaurant looking out over Muskegon Harbor, I think it was. It was our 30th birthday, our 30th anniversary. Yes, thank you, thank you. It was kind of fun to sit there and reflect on the last 30 years and what God has done in our lives and where the Lord has taken us from here to there. And it didn't take too long, and we started to reminisce about especially the last 25 years with GMI on the mission field. And I was also thinking, I would invite you to go to the passage for this evening, Ephesians chapter 2. So my mind was thinking through this passage from verses 11 through 22, thinking about what I wanted to share with you tonight. Several thoughts had gone through my mind, but it was pretty hard not to sit there and reflect a little bit about the years we had spent with GMI. Renewed relationships. One of the first things that came to my mind was a renewed relationship with the Lord. Our daughter had sent us to the meal with a nice anniversary card. You probably can't see it too well, but it's got a husband and a wife fighting with the blanket. The husband's got it nailed down on three sides to make sure it stays on his side. I thought that was pretty cute. It's from our daughter. And I was thinking first, renewed relationship with who? With God, of course. Our daughter's 21 years old. I asked permission to share with you this evening. She has rheumatoid arthritis at the age of 21. She can no longer straighten her left arm. She walks with an obvious gait. And we've been watching our daughter, and we've been wondering, what's this going to do? What's going to happen in her heart? And in the card, she wrote a lot of things about us as parents, all pretty good stuff. Then she says, this will be a crazy year. And I think she's talking about her dealing with arthritis. But thank God we have him to lean on. Oh. And I tell you, our hearts just about melted. It just about did. You know, you have kids, you know what it's like. You know, there is a renewed relationship with God, and that's the place to start. In the middle of, there's a lot of diseases that are a lot worse, that's for sure. But here she is, a 21-year-old, went from jogging 12 miles a day to tough sometimes just walking in the mornings. But when we look at Aubrey, we see this girl who for some reason has decided she's going to leave it in the Lord's hands. And we are seeing God renew her heart. And there's nothing more we could want. Amen? Yeah, exactly. But I also, as I look at this passage again, and I are sitting there talking, I think about not only a renewed relationship with Him, but a renewed relationship with our immediate community, family, church friends. You know, we spent 25 years in the field, and we bumped heads with some people. We did. Even some in this room. I remember looking at Frosty one time, and he was my boss. He told me to go do something, and I told him, I'm the guy who always does it. And there were some times I had to go say, sorry, Frosty, I blew it. You know? Some people who know me well would say, Jerry's the last one who ought to be up here talking today about renewed relationships, the theme that Frosty gave me. It's the truth. But you know, over the period of the years, we've seen the joy of seeing those relationships restored and renewed, sometimes having to go back and ask for forgiveness a number of times. And you see God work, and you see God restore. And you just breathe. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that your work is genuine in me. Renewed relationships with God, renewed relationships with your immediate context. But as I really sat and thought about these verses, and as Deanna and I was sitting there eating our dinner, enjoying the meal, my mind keeps on going back, and this is where I want to go this evening, is renewed relationships with your distant community. I'm just going to call it that. Now, for us as missionaries, it's a little bit different, because our distant community has been in many other places. not so far to start out with. We were in L.A. when we first got married. We worked in a church where Deanna's father was the pastor in Downey, California. It was a congregation not too far from where Philip is at now. I'd say about a third of the congregation were Latinos. Most of them were Mexicans. Man, we would get together. The food was to die for. Amen, Philip, right? You know, it was a number of years later, and God sent us down to Uruguay, and you're sitting there on a bench, and it's cold outside, it's freezing. They've got what's called yerba mate. It's a little tea that you drink. And you drink some, and you pass it on. The next guy comes back, you put more water in, it goes down. The next day, you're all sharing the same straw, and it goes back and forth. Just imagine if it went up and down the aisle here. By the time you get to the last, there's nothing but saliva left, but you enjoy it. You know, and I sat there in Uruguay, and I'm telling you, even though there were frustrations, we spent time working in a slum district where it was dirty and disgusting. But I look back and I think, oh, Lord, thanks for taking me to Uruguay. And then God took us up into the mountains of Bolivia and into the lowlands of Bolivia. We worked with people in the lowlands. Cities are fairly modern. Life isn't that difficult there. Don't tell anybody. Well, the mission knows now. We even built a swimming pool in our backyard. It was great. Life wasn't that, but you go out and visit people, groups that are still living in adobe homes, adobe huts. You walk in, the church is an adobe church, dirt floor. They've spread grass down the floor. It's freezing cold. You come out of the three-hour service, and they've got an adobe oven where they've thrown some llama meat in there, and when we get out of the service, they dig a hole out of the lava. That's adobe oven. They dig a hole out, and they pull the llama meat out. And it's just a different world. That's all you can say. And then we end up in Puerto Rico. Don't feel sorry for us. Our bedroom window was no more than 20 feet off of the Caribbean Ocean. Oh, it was to die for. Palm trees. It was gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. But there, worshiping with our Latino, Puerto Rican brothers and sisters in Christ. And what I want to say tonight is that renewed relationships with your extended family will renew, or extended community, will renew, enrichen, and deepen your life more than anything else that you can possibly imagine. And I don't mean that necessarily by going overseas anymore. I know that there are pockets of grace message, especially in California and Florida, that are specifically working with other population groups. But I want to tell you something. If I had turned my back 25 years ago when Dr. Sam Vinton sent me down to Uruguay, if I had turned my back on that adventure of opening up my life to other people groups, my life would be half what it is now. God has enriched my life, Deanna's life and mine, and the rest of it. God has done something in us by exposing us to other people groups and what He's doing. And what hits me when I come back to the United States now, and I say this in all gentleness possible, but it hits me that outside of us here we have ethnic communities all around us. Our nation is full of ethnic communities that God could take you into, and you could establish, I have no idea what, but something. You know, it's neat, the homogeneous community that we have. It's beautiful. But I want to tell you something. There's a world out there of flavors and tastes and varieties and peoples and languages and cultures that will enrich in your life more than you can possibly imagine. I want to go to our text in Ephesians chapter 3. Because as I look at this text, what came to my mind were barriers when we look at verses 11 through 13. So I've talked a little bit about renewing our relationship with God, renewing our relationship with our immediate community. But what I want to talk about now is just a little bit is a renewed relationship, or looking for a relationship with the extended community that's around us. I think in many ways I'm more of a missionary practitioner than a spokesperson. So I'll beg your patience, but I would like to communicate something along this line this evening. You know, when we look at these verses 11 and 12 in particular, we know Paul here is addressing a deep issue. He said in verse 11, "Therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles." You know, literally Paul is saying, look, we're Jews, you Gentiles. Right there's a cavern. There was a cavern, no doubt about it. I'm Jew, you're a non-Jew. And then what does he say? He uses the term, and called what? Uncircumcised. You know, we know that to some sense, the term uncircumcised sometimes had a derogatory term to it. I remember in the Old Testament when Samson's parents were talking to him, and he wanted to take on a Philistine wife. And they said to him, why do you take a wife from the uncircumcised? And then David was confronting Goliath there, and he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You know, it's like, almost like the disdain dripped from David's lips, you know? A disdain for the Gentile, the uncircumcised. And Paul is using these words here. I mean, there was a cavern or there was a barrier, no doubt about it. We know throughout the Old Testament. But I think it's fascinating the kind of terms that are used in this particular passage. It kind of reminds me of my kids when they were growing up. They loved the story Pocahontas. You remember that one, the little Disney cartoon, Pocahontas? There's a scene in there where the settlers are trying to justify war, and they start singing, savages, savages, barely even human. And that's kind of it's kind of sometimes the feeling I get from these terms, Gentile, uncircumcised. But we skip down a little bit lower to verse 12. It says, remember that at that time you were separated from Christ. The Jews were the haves, the Gentiles the what? Have-nots. Paul continues on, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenant of the promise. Wow, the Jews had the celebrations, the feast, the festivities, the sacrifices, the law, the promises. The Gentiles were excluded from the community. They were excluded from the benefits of the community and from the fellowship of that community. They were completely outside of all of it. I mean, you're talking, the barriers were real. And then finally he says, without hope and without God in the world. That was their standing, without hope and with God in the world. Tim was just talking about receiving the news about cancer. I can just imagine, I've never had cancer, but I can just imagine what it's like for those who have gone in and had several treatments, and you finally get to that day where the doctor looks at you and says, there is no hope. All hope is gone. And the heart sinks. You know, Paul, that's what he says right here. He says, there is no hope without hope and without God in the world. Now, we know that something else is coming, obviously. But the barriers were real and the barriers were huge. How many of you have had a chance to go to visit Old San Juan in Puerto Rico? You've been there? You've been to the old forts up there, the old walls? Isn't that tremendous? These walls were built, San Juan was originally settled back originally in the late 1500s, and then they began to build the original forts into the 1600s. First, the forts are like 5 to 6 meters wide, the walls are. Averaging 30 to 40 feet high. In some places, they're 140 feet high. These walls are humongous, and they were all designed to protect the people inside from the people outside, the haves and the have-nots. And as you walk down those walls, it's quite impressive. Over a period of 300 years, the fort was only attacked 3 times. It never really defeated. That's how strong these walls were and what a defense they represented. And when I go back to these two verses, I know that there's something else coming, no doubt about it. But there's a sense in which Paul paints the picture. I mean, you guys are on the other side of that barrier, on the other side of that wall, and you are without hope and without God in the world. Fortunately, it doesn't end there at all. But I wanted to really start there because I really see 3 different things here. There was really in many ways a three-fold barrier between this Jewish population and the Gentiles. There was a religious barrier. The Jews knew and had the true God. Gentiles did not. There were cultural and social barriers here too. The Jews, once again, had the ceremonies, the laws, the regulations. The Gentiles were without. So there were very real cultural and social barriers. But you know, there's also the extent to which there were racial barriers here that we're talking about. I think we can say that. In what sense? In the sense that the Jews traced their lineage back to when? To Jacob and not to Esau. To Isaac and not to Ishmael. To Abraham. So there were many facets to these barriers. And Paul said, you know, these barriers were very real. But then we know what happens, right? You get to verse 13. And what does verse 13 say? But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Amen? You know, all that, he presents all of this picture. You're on the other side. You're out of it. And then all of a sudden, this, you know, through the blood of Jesus Christ, now you are invited in to join in the community with us, to become one new body. We know, in essence, is the ultimate message here. You read on down to verse 14, and we'll just read through a couple of these verses here. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. That whole huge wall came crashing down by abolishing in its flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. The word peace is used four times in these verses. 16, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Wow, amen. You know, as we look at the missionaries that are working here and the presentations, the radio station, I think in many ways the GGF and our community, we can be thankful, we can praise the Lord. God has used us to reach out in countries in many ways, in an incredible way. I've never read any statistic, but I bet, percentage-wise, the Grace Fellowship of believers, and I mean both branches of it, are extremely giving and extremely committed towards missions. I think that's probably the case. If you took a cross look at other denominations and what's going on, the number of people that we have in our churches, and the giving is incredible, and the commitment is incredible. The cross-cultural missions, it is. And what hearing Bill Vinton talk about, you know, 20 to 30,000 new believers, I mean, come on, that's a work of God. And at least 7,000 have gone through an initial discipleship program, so you know that there's been solid follow-up. That's something to give glory to the Lord for, absolutely. But brothers and sisters in Christ, oh, we live in a multi-ethnic nation. We are no longer a homogeneous community. We are a mix of communities. And those barriers are no longer there. God broke them down. He crushed them years ago. I don't stand before you because I have any right. That's a given. But I stand before you because what I see in our community is wonderful. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. But I think God maybe is calling us to see where, how, when. Lord, how can we? And I know there's been some efforts, I know. But I just felt like this evening as I read through this passage, God, as a family of Christ, as a body of Christ, Lord, you've begun a good work in our midst. You've challenged us in cross-cultural languages, with cross-cultural languages and crossing borders. Now, Lord, what rich opportunities are there to carry on that same work on this very shore? Not too long ago, I attended, I'm aware of a church, it's one of our supporting churches. They have now 100 Bhutanese individuals attending their congregation. 100 Bhutanese refugees that they're reaching out to that just happen to be in their community. So they begin to invite them, begin to provide services. And now it's incredible what God is doing to build a multi-ethnic people of God. Amen? I have no idea what's going on in your communities. But I know that the blood of Christ has torn down their barriers. Amen? I'm not so sure I have the right to say it, but I've seen it in my own self. I think sometimes we have a tendency. We know theoretically that we are not the blessed covenant people of God. I'll say that in the Old Testament concept. But I think sometimes we do have the tendency to think that we are the blessed people of God. Yeah, I wonder if they have, I don't know, maybe it doesn't go that far. But as you look at this passage, I mean, it can't be said any clearer, but now in Christ Jesus, you ones who were far off, they've been brought near through the blood of Christ. The barriers are down. They're gone. What ministry opportunities does God have right around the corner for you? Oop. Lost that. I've been reading a book lately by John Piper. I know many of you know him. You've heard of him, a pastor right in this community. I don't know if he's retired yet or not, but he writes, "That is what God is aiming at in our salvation. A new people that is so free from enmity and so united in truth and peace that God Himself is there for our joy and for His glory forever. That is so free from enmity and so united in truth and peace that God Himself is there for our joy and for His glory forever." That's the aim of reconciliation, a place for God to live among us and to make Himself known and enjoyed forever and ever. And he spoke in context with seeing greater ethnicity in his own proper, his own personal congregation. Joan Chittister, I'm not sure how you pronounce her last name, Joan Chittister, writes in a book, Living the Rule of Saint Benedict. Strange title, but she's got some interesting things there. It's one of my a class that I'm taking. But it's interesting what she writes here, because I've had to think about this several times and realize that it is a part of my own heart. She writes, "Once upon a time, a visitor came to the monastery looking for the purpose and meaning to life." It's a story, no more, nothing else. The teacher said, "If what you seek is truth, there is one thing you must have above all else." I know, the visitor said. "To find truth, I must have an overwhelming passion for it." Sounds good. Sounds right. "No," the teacher responded. "In order to find the truth, you must have an unrelenting readiness to admit you may be wrong." I tell you, even though we lived and worked as missionaries in several different cultures, I certainly know what it is to think I'm right. I know what it is to start down a path and ensure that I've got the answers. I know what it is to look at other people groups and really question and try to straighten them out. I think the older I get, I'm learning more and more that I'm wrong. That God has some beautiful, uniting, peaceful work that He wants to do in our lives, through us and with us and in the communities in which we live. John Piper goes on to say, "And if the design of the death of His Son is not only to reconcile us to God, but to reconcile alienated ethnic groups to each other in Christ, then we will not display and magnify the cross of Christ better by more and deeper and sweeter ethnic diversity and unity in our worship and life. If Christ died, and mark this, died, to make the church a reconciled body of Jew and Gentile, red and yellow, black and white, and every shade of brown, then to glory in the cross is to glory in the display of the fruit of that cross." Amen? You know, once again, I just want to take you back with me. There were times when we would be even in Puerto Rico now, and you're working with some other population, and the frustrations can sometimes be right up here. But then you step back and you see what God is doing. You see how God is working. You see how God is transforming your own life, developing patience within you and the willing to rest and to trust in you, in Him. And you realize that, wow, life is getting richer. Life is getting more meaningful. Life is getting more purposeful. And you simply step back and you say, God, thank you for these opportunities. Thank you for working in my life. Thanking you for showing me that usually I'm the one who's wrong. And usually it's a change that you have to do in my life. I was at a church recently, and the pastor asked at the very end of the message, he said, he put it this way, if your commitment to Christ and dedication, if your commitment to Christ and dedication to the church was paralleled by everybody else in the congregation, where will we be in 5 years, 10 years? I thought it was a good question. Let me switch it around a little bit, if I may. If your commitment to Christ and dedicated to establishing relationships with your extended community, if your commitment to Christ and dedication to renewed relationships with your extended community or establishing a relationship with your extended community was paralleled by everyone else in this room tonight, where would we be as a Grace Message in 5 to 10 years? It's a good question. And once again, I don't stand before you in any way having any rights to say anything. I don't. But I just wanted to leave a challenge tonight. You know, God has brought us together as a community of believers. We have churches spread out all across this country. And as we travel around, we certainly have seen, wow, the amazing opportunities that God has placed right before us in our very backyards. Opportunities to bring in students coming in from other cultures and other countries. Opportunities to invite, I know Phillips Church is now how you have an Indonesian community in your own congregation, right, using your facility. Vietnamese. There are opportunities all around us to open our doors to other groups and invite them in to become part of their family, to minister to them, to reach out to them, to see what kind of new relationship God might develop with both of you. I read recently an African proverb. I don't know, maybe Bill Vinton can correct me on this one, and I'll leave you with this thought. If you think you are too small to make a difference, try spending the night in an enclosed room with a mosquito. You can make a difference. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, there's so much more we could have looked at the passage, I know. Your passage talks about a new citizen, a new body, a new citizenship. No longer aliens, no longer foreigners, but are members of your family. And Lord, we also know and understand that the walls have come tumbling down for every ethnic group, even in our own nation. Lord, I just pray as a community of believers that you will begin to plant and to challenge us as individuals, as church leaders, as members of congregations, that you would begin to plant in each one of our hearts a desire, an interest, and a yearning to reach out, to step out in faith, and to see where you might lead us. In your precious name, amen. Thank you.